As it is written in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. My name is Brother James, and I'm honored and grateful to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. Now, our selection tonight, which opened our broadcast, is as stated found in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And perhaps tonight's continuation of our ongoing study of the book of James, which I've entitled The Fragility of Men, seems more poignant to me, given that I'm actually preparing this message in the immediate wake of the assassination of a Christian man on a college campus in Utah, as well as the anniversary of 9/11. Now, while I cannot claim that I was a regular or devoted viewer of Mr. Kirk, the senseless slaying, even the martyrdom, of this man in America, who only seemed to want to have rational debate and discussion founded upon Christian perspectives, doctrines, and ideals, to me marks a cultural shift, a moment, a change. As a large portion of our country seems to be advocating for lawlessness, encouraging violence, and even celebrating the senseless slaughter of any figure that speaks contrary to the wanton sin that plagues our country. Yes, friends, from my perspective, these 2 days now stand together in infamy as a symbol of attacks upon the American people, as well as our fundamental rights, liberties, and freedoms, as well as Christian values, morals, and principles. Yes, 2 days, which upon first look may seem steeped in darkness, but perhaps those with faith tonight might see that even in the darkness, the light still shines. Though the darkness comprehendeth it not, the light still shines, and that light, the light of men, cannot be extinguished, nor diminished, or so much as dimmed, and that any attempt to do so must only cause that light to grow brighter, as it shines in condemnation against those whose deeds be wrought in darkness, exposing those workers of iniquity, them that blindly labor for that serpent of old, condemned to slither on his belly and choke down the dust of this world until that day, that glorious day, when he shall have his head bruised one last time before he takes possession of his eternal inheritance, that lake of fire reserved for the devil and his angels. It has often been said that wickedness flourishes where it is not swiftly punished, where it is not illuminated, identified, and admonished, and that wickedness abounds where those who know better do not stand up, those who do not speak up. As we see a society that is increasingly fragmented and divided by radical ideologies, we, those who would identify and call ourselves Christians, must grow more vocal, more vigilant, and even more engaged in our communities, within our workplaces, in whatever mission field we may find ourselves. We must understand that now is the time to stand up. Now is the time to stand together, and for our churches, our bodies, to shake off the comfort of that lethargic apathy we've fallen into, to stir from the den of our self-induced slumber, to rise up and sound the call, to wake as many as who will receive those wonderful words of life which can transform believers from vessels of dishonor to ones of honor, that we might preach freedom to the captive and the recovery of vision to those whose eyes have been blinded and darkened by deceit, that those that may call out to the Lord might be cleansed, redeemed, freed from the burden of their iniquities, and conform no longer to that old image of fallen Adam. Rather, they might strive after that new image, that of the risen Christ. Amen. Looking back on our selection tonight, let's focus in for just a moment, if we could, on verses 14 through 16, where it's written, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil." These verses help to remind us, beloved, that our Lord holds our tomorrows, but that those tomorrows are in fact finite, limited, and numbered, and that their total remains hidden from us. While the world seeks to draw us away in frivolous excess of waste of our days, our most precious resource, beloved, we know not how precious each day is, and yet so many spend their lives merely working for the weekend, or they get caught in a cycle of eat, work, sleep. While this may in fact satiate the carnal appetites, it creates no provision for the spiritual. And given that man is created with an innate longing for God and those fruits of the Spirit, it is not the fullest expression of the life our Creator designed for us to live. It is perhaps at this time we might be reminded that our time here in the flesh is but for a season, and that while we can carry nothing with us, I do believe we may accumulate those heavenly riches promised to those who labor for the Lord this side of eternity. No man has any right to say, "Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me do my own pleasure." No man may say, "I will have my youth to myself and serve God in my old age." Or should a man say, "I will serve God when it is convenient and serve my lust when it is also"? It is an insult to our Heavenly Father to even think such a thing, as well as a disservice to ourselves. Amen. Tonight, as I consider these words and this passage, I'm also reminded of the words our Lord spoke regarding the provisions of God. Join with me, if you would, over in Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. "Wherefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Friends, I believe it no secret that those who prioritize scriptural study, prayer, and service to our Lord, those who seek earnestly after His direction in their lives, who take the time through prayer to invite God into their daily decisions, will soon see positive impact in most, if not all, aspects of their lives. And friends, tonight I'm not merely repeating platitudes when I make that statement. No, I'm testifying to those things I've experienced, those ways in which I have grown and indeed continue to grow. And because of that, friend, I'm excited. It's not that the days are not darkened by the almost daily tragedies, murders, man's inhumanity to man. Rather, it's because the light still shines in the midst of the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, that they may have silenced one man, but they exposed how awful that darkness is. And since the light has no fellowship with the darkness, many of the children, by their actions, have been shaken awake. Praise God, they have been called out from amongst the tares, that the harvest might be soon complete. In closing tonight, let's consider the final verse of this chapter. Look with me, if you would, at James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you're listening tonight, consider this verse with some gravity. We that have received, we have incurred a burden. We are no longer ignorant of what is good. We are no longer ignorant of the truth. And we bear a responsibility to the light that called us out of darkness, that we might guide others who are lost or seeking to the way. Beloved, this world needs more Jesus. And while that is and has been an unchanging truth, recent events have me considering if my all is truly on the altar, if I might not give of myself just a little more. If I might just strive after just a closer walk with Thee, O Lord, let it be. But what about you, friends? The light still shines only as brightly as we are willing to reflect it. Would you be willing to stretch your faith through increased service, increased study, increased prayer? Would you be willing to devote some of your time, talents, and abilities to discipleship programs, youth programs, or bus routes? In our church, these are very active ministries that never fail to provide encouragement to our body. What about yours? Let us not grow weary, friends. If the Lord should tarry not too much longer, have you stocked your lamp with oil? Have you cast off your filthy rags? Would you, my friend, be willing to answer the call?